All right, let's take our Bibles and turn back. 1 Corinthians 16. The Apostle Paul, last couple of weeks, we looked at Paul's answer to the surety of the resurrection, and then the nature of the resurrected body. And now, the Spirit of God has moved upon Paul to deal with a subject that we don't deal with a lot here. I don't, unless I come to it in the Scriptures, I just don't deal with giving. But this is a subject that Paul the Apostle is dealing with, and so I'm going to deal with it. God dealt with it, and we will too. But now, before I get into the verses that we're going to look at for a few minutes, I want us to think for just a moment. We're going to be dealing with giving, what God has to say concerning giving. But I, as I was making preparation on this message, I began to think about the foundation of giving. I know this. The Lord is able. He could do, if he was so pleased, he could just make it to where there was no need whatsoever for us to do anything. I mean, he would just provide and we would just have it, and that would be the end of it. He's able to do that, but there's been a way in which the Lord has ordained that Almighty God is going to provide for his own through the means of giving. And I started thinking, what is the foundation of giving? Is it faith? I know that we trust the Lord in our giving, and I know that the Scripture says concerning faith whatsoever, Romans 14:23, is not of faith. Whatsoever is not of faith. No matter what we're doing, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So is the heart of giving, is it to teach us faith? Well, yes, I'd say that probably right. How about joy? Is it to teach us to be joyful in what we're doing? Scripture says, Acts 20:35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the word of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it's more blessed to give than to receive. Now, isn't that so? Don't you rejoice when you're able to help and help somebody? I mean, it is. You'd rather help somebody than be the recipient of being the one helped. You'd rather help them. It's joyful. But when Almighty God was said to give, when the Lord God of heaven gave, what was the foundation of his giving? What was the basis? What does the Scripture say? Here's what it is. Love. Love. For God so loved the world. He loved Jews and Gentiles. He loved his people, the world, the arrangement, the order of man. And what did he do? He gave. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Scripture declares that God the Father loved his people, loved them everlastingly, and his love for his own in Christ was that he would not spare anything, not even his Son, for their redemption and salvation. God Almighty loved his people. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So the foundation of giving. By faith, yes. Joy, yes. Love. That's the heart of giving. When the Lord Jesus Christ laid down his life, laid down for his sheep, he declared love to be the heart of his action. The scripture says, greater love, this is John 15:13-14, hath no man than this. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He said there's no greater exhibition of love than a man lay down his life for his friends. And he said, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Every time, almost every time, I'll say it many times when I read that scripture right there, I think so often of these military men that have been in combat and would fall on a grenade. That's what comes to my mind. That men would lay and take the full force of that grenade for his buddies. They're his brothers. That's who they are. Greater love. No greater exhibition of love than a man would die that another one might live. So the foundation, the strength of God's giving to his people is love. Love for them, love for their good, because God is love. And therefore, love, praise, thanksgiving is unto him, given unto him. That's the foundation of our attitude. If that's God's attitude, then in regenerating grace, that's the foundation of our giving. The scripture says, Psalms 18:49, therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. So the Lord has created life within us. His life shed abroad in our hearts. Love is that exhibition that's given unto the Lord and unto his people. It's made evident in giving. Believers give. Now, I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about give. They give of themselves. They give of their labor. They give of their time. They give. Now, this evening, I'd like for us to take up just where we left off last time. But when we begin this new chapter, I want us to recognize that this subject of giving is actually the grace of God that has been imparted to us. Giving is a grace. It's a gift. When we give because God has graced us. I want you to hold your place in 1 Corinthians 16. Turn over to 2 Corinthians 8 for a second. Listen to this. Now this is, I'm telling you, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 to 7. 2 Corinthians 8. This is a grace. Giving is a grace. 2 Corinthians 8, 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. I want you to know, Paul says, I want you to know concerning the grace of God, what God did for the churches in Macedonia. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power, to their ability, that's what when he says power, he's talking about their ability. I bear record. He said, I'm gonna tell you something I know. Yea, and beyond their ability, their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God, insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. Therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, in utterance, in knowledge, in all diligence, in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What did Paul say? He said, he shared with the church at Corinth about the grace of God that had become evident in the churches of Macedonia and their desires to give, to be able to help. And Paul said, I'm going to share with you what they did. In the midst of great need and poverty, he said they weren't a rich congregation. In the midst of their tribulation, the abundance of their joy overflowed in their lavish generosity. He said they gave not only according to their ability, but really beyond what you normally would have thought that they would have given. And they did it, Paul says, voluntarily. He said, begging us insistently for the privilege to be able to give for the relief and support of the saints that were in Jerusalem, disregarding their own personal interests. They did according to the will of God so much that we urged Titus. He said that he should go to the church at Corinth to receive assistance also for those that were also in need, the church there in Jerusalem. Now, he said, as you here at Corinth have excelled in faith and in knowledge and in love for us, he said, I pray that you'll also abound in this grace also, in the grace of giving. He said, it just, when I read that scripture, it reminded me, it took me a while. I had to look this morning. I couldn't remember where. It's Exodus 36. I want you to hold your place still. I want you to turn to Exodus 36. I want to read an amazing passage of scripture. Exodus 36. What was happening is material had been given, had there for the building of the tabernacle in the wilderness. And they were going to construct, you know, the sanctuary for that tabernacle. And so what they were doing, they hired some craftsmen, is what they did, to be able to work on building the tabernacle. Somebody was going to have to build it. It was according to the law, the Lord's direction. But somebody was going to have to construct it, you know, and they were going to have to be paid. We're going to pay them, you know. A laborer is worthy of his hire, you know. So here's what Exodus 36, look at verses 3 to 7. Now here's what, now there's the scenario. The material is there. Donated. They got it. But they got to hire these guys to build it. And the people were going to give. They were going to give to pay the workmen is what they were going to do. So they would take up an offering. So look at this. Exodus 36, verse 3. And they received of Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. They took an offering every day. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they made, and they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing, for the stuff they had was sufficient for all the work to make it, and too much. Now, can you imagine? They had these workers and they were going to hire them. And they were bringing an offering every morning to Moses, and Moses was bringing it over there to pay these guys, and they said, You got more here than we can't do all. We can't do enough to justify what you're doing. You're going to have to tell people stop giving. So Moses told him, he said, we got enough. Don't give anymore. Have you ever heard of such a thing? I mean, who would ever think? But God's people are generous people. Generous. It never ceases to amaze me. I remember when Brother Cody and Brother Walter Groover remember that a few years ago? I mean, this was probably 15 years ago now. They each needed a vehicle, a Suburban. And just the churches just got together. Well, I mean, even, I don't know, 15 years ago, I guarantee you, even then, it was probably $35,000, $40,000. You know, now they're, what, 60, 65? And they bought two of them. You know, they just took up an offering, you know, got about $70,000, $80,000. You say, how do you do that? God's people, they give. So knowing that the heart of giving is love. Love, thankfulness, appreciation, thanksgiving. Love for the Lord, love for the work of the ministry. Love for His people. Let's look at what God has to say concerning this blessed grace. Now, 1 Corinthians, back 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 1. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Now, the saints that were spoken of here were well known to the church at Corinth. It was the church at Jerusalem. They were poor. And Romans, I'll just read this. It's Romans 15, verses 25 and 27. I'll show you. Here's the church now at Jerusalem. And it says, verse 25, but now I go unto Jerusalem to minister unto the saints, for it's pleased them of Macedonia and Achaia to make a certain contribution for the poor saints which are at Jerusalem. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. So the church at Jerusalem was in dire straits. They were in trouble. And so Paul, according to the will of the Lord, according to his apostolic authority, he gave the church at Corinth, not only them, us, some instruction concerning the distributing of financial help to the brethren that the Lord had providentially placed in that situation. I know this. We remember that the Lord is the one that worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That He may be pleased to prosper one assembly financially, that they might be the means through which another assembly's need is met. And so for reasons that's only known to Him. Why does the Lord put one group in one situation, another group in another situation? Because it pleased Him to do so. He just, you know, He gives no account of His dealings to any man. He's the Lord. He does as He will. So here at Katy, I have always, from the time I got here, I've been so amazingly blessed to behold the Lord's blessing in this place. First of all, spiritually, how Almighty God raised up. And I'm telling you, Katie, I've told you this before, and Brother Henry was the one who first said this. He said, Henry, Katie is an exception to the rule. As a general rule, it would have ended with Brother Scott. That's normally what the Lord's pleased to do. Many, many places there were churches at one time there. And after that first long pastorate, the Lord's not pleased to raise up. He moves the candlestick. He'll move it and put it somewhere else. And that the Lord has allowed us to still be here is by the grace of God. So spiritually, This assembly right here has been greatly blessed of God. The Lord has blessed the word. He's called out his people. He's called out his vessels of his mercy. We've had baptisms. We've had, and I think, what a blessing to be able to behold that. But not only the blessing of God's word, the blessing of fellowship that we enjoy here. I mean, it's just so wonderful just to be able to be together with God's people, and that you want to be here. That we have each other, that we can assemble it. And you know, like Abraham was telling Lot, he said, "Lot, we're brethren. And so here we are. So we've got God's blessing on the gospel. We've got blessing, God's blessing in the fellowship. But then financially, the Lord has blessed this assembly and this church right here. I mean, I could go on and on and on and tell you about this. This church, monthly, if you want to know what this church does with the money, look on the bulletin board. You know, I know it's real easy just to walk past it, but Brother Mark will send me a financial statement every month. And 90% of the time, Mark, I remember to print it off, don't I, and put it up there, about 90% of the time. And I'll get it up and put it up there. But if you want to know where every penny of the money that's taken in at this assembly, look on that piece of paper out there. It's posted on what it is. You want to know what I make? Go look. Y'all, it's all on there. Everything's disclosed. And the Lord has blessed, and time and time, time again, this church, as many others, have stepped up and met the needs of those that were in need. And as the Lord has provided a need, he's provided the means. And I think about Luke 6:38, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. Now that, you know, well, obviously we don't give just to, you know, let's just see if we'll get it. No, you just give because you give. You give because there's a need. You give because you want to. You give because you love. You love God's people. You love the Lord. You love what God's raised up. And you give. And the Lord said, you give. He said, I'll make sure you won't run out. Don't worry. The meal will always be there. The oil will always be in the cruise. Don't, you know, it'll be fine. And if the Lord were to put this church right here underwater financially, and this church needed assistance, let me tell you who would come to the aid by the grace of God: all the other churches. That's exactly what would happen. I'll guarantee it. It'll happen. So if there was a need in Jerusalem, so the Lord gave Paul instruction on meeting that need. It was a need that the Lord had sent, a need that the Lord was going to provide through his people. And this is the Lord's instruction. Back in 1 Corinthians, let me get back where I'm supposed to be here. 1 Corinthians 16:1. It says now, verse 2, upon the first day of the week. Here we are on a Wednesday night. And we meet here like others during the week also. But there's one day during the week that consistently all God's people meet on a day that has special significance. It's a day that's especially set aside for believers to assemble and worship on the first day of the week. First day. Brother Don, they meet on Tuesday night. We, like a lot of others, meet on Wednesday. Brother Clay Curtis, they meet on Thursday. Some of them, you know, just it's a different time. But all of us meet on Sunday. All of us meet on the Lord's Day. It was the day that the Lord was raised from the dead. It was the day that the Lord met for the first time, that day, with his disciples. So Paul says, upon the first day of the week. He said, that's first one on giving. He said, give when God's people come together. He said, now, on the first day of the week, Let every one of you, every one of you. Now here's, we're told who should give. Who should give? Every one of us. Every one. Every believer is instructed to give. Not just a few, not just those who think others are more prosperous. Well, they've, you know, there's some others and they've got the money. They can do, no. Let every one of you remember, giving is a grace that has been imparted to God's people. It's a grace that manifests itself. All God's people give. We all give. Don't leave it up to someone else to do it. The scripture declares, let every one of you. Listen to this scripture in 2 Corinthians 9:7. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. How do you give? Not grudgingly or of necessity. We don't do anything out of obligation. If it's an obligation, then it's not out of love. I can tell you that right now. Paul says, don't give it. Well, I guess I got to give. I don't really want to. Well, then keep it. Just keep it. Don't worry. But God's people have been given the grace to give. To give. Paul says, let him give, not grudgingly or necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Does that mean he starts loving them because they gave? No. It means he loved them, gave them the grace to give, and they give. That's what God loveth, a cheerful giver. So giving is actually worship because it is in obedience unto the Lord. It's an act of fellowship with God's people. It's a work of faith. You know, when we come together here, there's, as I've said there, we've got, there's many needs that every month are met. In other places I'm talking about, other works that are supplied by the grace of God through this church. Right here, if you want to know, they're on the bulletin board there if you want to know where they are. But there's many things, but just the upkeep of this building. Just the lights, the insurance, the you know, just the stuff that keeps this place right here. And this is a fellowship. When we give together, we give as brethren. So here the Lord meets the needs of his people from among their own ranks. So he sends the need that we all might cry unto the Lord for help. And it's a calling forth of gratitude unto the Lord that he's done for us. And so giving, it's that blessed grace whereby we trust the Lord to meet our need too. So when do you give? Paul says when you come together, first day of the week, let every man, and then thirdly, it deals with this, how much should I give? Years ago, I was in a little old bitty free will church there in Louisiana, and I remember, now as a kid, I mean, I was old enough to understand what they were saying, but even then I thought, well, that just, it doesn't even sound right. Someone asked, I think they asked my dad, or either I heard my dad say it, but anyway, but this was the question. Should we give, you know, on gross or net? Do you give on gross or net? Well, let me tell you what the scripture has to say about it. When we give the first day of the week, who gives? Everyone. Let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. Now there's how much are to be given? How much do we give? Lay aside in store as the Lord, as God has prospered him. Let him lay aside in store. What does that mean? Designate, purpose, commit prayerfully a portion of your means. You know, not for the sake of display. Don't let the left hand see what the right hand is doing, or as I've told you before, don't let him on your left hand know what your right hand is doing. It's not anybody's business. Don't tell me. I don't want to know. I've told Brother Mark, I said, whatever you do, whenever he, after he took from Brother Glenn, did it for years and years and years, and I told Mark, I said, don't ever tell me anything. Give me the totals over here, and I'll put it on the bulletin board, but don't tell me anything about any dealings, any money. I don't want to know anything about anything. Just keep that to yourself. It's a burden. I can tell you this, it's a burden, I'm sure, for him to have to know what goes on. I know it is, Mark. I appreciate you. I know it is. It is, because it's just, but I told him, I said, don't tell me. Whatever you do, don't tell me. But here's what the scriptures have to say. Let every man set aside as prayerfully considering, this is what I believe the Lord wants me to give. This is what I believe. And Paul said, let him lay by him in store. First, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. First, not after everything else is done, say, well, I just, you know, first. Let him lay in store as God has prospered him, as the Lord has prospered you in your endeavors, in your business, in your job, as God prospers you. Give accordingly. If the Lord increases your income or something, as the Lord has prospered you, give that way. Believers give according to God's prosperity to them in proportion to your means. That's exactly what it's, you know. One may not be able to give as much as another, but everybody can give. Everybody. No one. There was a woman that the Lord was watching. I'll read. You know what I'm going to read. The woman with the two mites. Mark chapter 12. Here's what the Lord said. Mark chapter 12, verse 41 to 44. The scripture says, and Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury, for all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now, you know, I'm sure that if attention would have been given to that woman, it would have embarrassed her to death. But the Lord saw her. The Lord knew. He knew that what she had was two mites. That's all she had. It was it. And she gave every bit of it. Believe God. I mean, that you talk about giving by faith, trusting the Lord. She gave all, you know, so we give consistently as we meet together in worship. We purpose in our hearts seeking the Lord's direction and give as the Lord prospers us. And in our passage, Paul then gave instruction to the church at Corinth concerning the Lord's instructions. He said in verses 3 and 4, and I'll end with these two verses, and when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet, if it's fit that I go also, they shall go with me. Now I'm going to tell you exactly. Verse 3, the literal of that is this. You approve men, and I will send them with letters concerning your liberality unto Jerusalem. Paul said, you set apart men that you approve of, that you trust, that you know, and I'll give them, I'll send a letter of recommendation to the church at Jerusalem telling them what this gift is all about. And as the Apostle Paul deemed wise concerning those letters to give all the details of the gift to avoid any malicious opportunity of others to call his integrity into question. A large amount of money obviously was collected from the churches in Macedonia, and it was to be sent to meet the needs of the poorer congregations. And when it was sent, Paul requested Titus, who was willing to accept the charge, to travel with another brother to deliver the money to avoid suspicion. Now listen to this. This will be next to the last. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8. Paul said, we're going to send some money, but I'm going to send a couple of men. Oh, that's wise. That's really, really wise. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 16. But thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you, and we have sent with him the brother whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches. And not only that, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us in with this grace, which is administered to us to the glory of the same Lord, and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance, which is administered by us, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. That's why, right there, that I think it's so important to have a financial report. Put it on the bulletin board right there. Why? I want everybody to see it. I want to put everything out in front. Right here. They say, oh, well, they're not going to think anything about it. Good. I'm glad for that. But there it is right there. I want everybody to look at it, because it's just good. It's just wise. It's wise. Don't give any opportunity. 2 Corinthians 6:3 says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. Isn't that wise? Don't do anything that would cause any possibility of doubt. Don't give anybody any reason to say, I don't know, things just don't seem right here. Put everything out in the open. Let everybody see what's going on. 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Paul says, here's God's rules, here's God's advice, here's God's word on giving. When you come together, first day of the week, let every man, every one of you, everyone, let him lay aside in store as the Lord hath prospered him. Let him give. Give it as unto the Lord. Give it for the glory of God, that Almighty God might be blessed, blessing us. We might bless him in meeting the needs of those who the Lord has raised up with a need. For his glory and our good. Amen.